Hello, and welcome to OEG Voices.
OEG Voices.
OEG Voices.
OEG Voices.
A podcast bringing to you the voices and ideas of open educators from around the world.
OEG Voices is produced by Open Education Global,
a member-based, nonprofit organization
supporting the development and use of open education globally.
Learn more about us at oeglobal.org.
There's much to take in at a global level.
We hope to bring you closer to how open education is working
by hearing the stories of practitioners
told in their own voices.
Each episode introduces you to a global open educator,
and we invite you to later engage in conversation with them
in our OEG Connect community.
Greetings and welcome, everybody, again to the OEG Voices podcast studio. I'm Alan Levine from Open Education Global, and for this episode, we're doing something that might seem impossible. We invited 294 Open Education Award for Excellence winners to join us in the studio. Please, can you keep it down? We are recording here. Okay. Well, no, there's really not 240 people. I'm here by myself recording. But we did invite all of the winners of the Open Education Award for Excellence award that was given in the UNESCO OER implementation category for 2021. And we did something rather unique. We presented it to every person who participated by being a presenter at the OE Global 2021 online conference in September of that year. And so we wanted to make sure we gave out prizes and badges and things to them, but we wanted to give them a chance to be on a podcast episode. Now, trying to do a doodle schedule with that many people might be kind of complex. So the idea was we would invite them each to contribute a audio segment up to 3 minutes with whatever they wanted to pack in there to talk about their award or their work or what their project has been doing since that time. Now, we didn't get like responses from all 294, but there's more than 23. And that's enough to fill at least an hour or more of this podcast. So we didn't want to make a 20-hour podcast. And we will keep the door open and a little more about that at the end of the show. But we did want to give a chance to highlight everybody who shared their views and their voices. And so without further ado, we're just going to start and we're going to listen to them end to end. And so thank you to all the people who participated. And again, if you didn't get a chance to contribute your audio, we got an opportunity for you. Stay tuned.
Hi, everybody who's out there making open education happen. My name is Laura Henderson, and I work for the open access journal publisher called Frontiers. At Open Education Global in September, I spoke on behalf of the team that I lead about the work we do in our not-for-profit kids science journal, Frontiers for Young Minds. Now, I'm based in Lausanne, but Frontiers for Young Minds and all our 130-plus journals which Frontiers operates in the core science areas are fully digital and globally accessible to anyone with an internet browser. We publish everything on the gold open access model, which means there are no readership fees or subscription packages involved. So in my talk, I introduced Frontiers and our big global vision to make all science open to enable healthy lives on a healthy planet. I then explained the unique work that we do within that in Frontiers for Young Minds. We don't just publish scientists writing in a way they think is accessible for children, and we don't just publish kids publishing their own science experiments. We actually bring kids together to peer review top scientists so that not only do we ensure the content is accessible for their peers aged 8 to 15, but we also have that open pedagogical aspect where those reviewers learn in the process to think critically as well, to become the scientists of tomorrow. I also outlined how to get involved with us, and feel free to contact me at laura.henderson@frontiersin.org for more information. My hopes and goals for 2022, well, they say you should have big, hairy, audacious goals. I would say mine are big, hairy, and ambitious. First, to continue to drive top researchers to work with us for the children. We had Nobel Prize winners starting with us last year and continuing more this year. We've got IPCC, CERN, NASA, the Antarctic programs, major scientists internationally engaging with us already for this coming year. Second, to expand our intellectual access via key global languages being added to our platform. My goals for 2022 are to add Chinese and Spanish. And of course, this will involve finding funders and regional translation partners to make that happen. And finally, to see our journal expand and structure its offerings so that we can begin to connect with curricula at a classroom and even a national level. And I'm working on a possible partnership to make that happen. So watch this space, and I hope to be able to share more details with you at Nantes in May 2022. Thanks for listening to me.
Hi, my name is Maya Anderson Gonzalez, and I'm a member of PH Duke, a French nonprofit association that provides an open access and free MOOC called PhD in Career Development, or in French, Doctorat et Poursuite de Carrière, which received the Open Education Award in 2019. Thanks to the OE Award, PH Duke Association was able to sustain free and open access to the MOOC and adapt its contents to meet the needs of an increasingly international and far-reaching community. After receiving the award, PH Duke established collaborations with Open University and invested resources, mostly volunteer time, in a content development project that involved translating the MOOC's original contents and activities into English, and also finding culturally relevant and suitable resources so the MOOC's international participants could have the same experience as French ones. Since 2020, the MOOC has also benefited from new international partnerships. Two out of the MOOC's six interactive webinars have been given in English and featured career strategist Sarah Blackford, Beatrice Zatorska from Smart Tribe, and Matteo Tardelli, author of the book The Salmon Leap for PhDs. Besides improving the MOOC, we also contributed to the OE community by creating a workshop that we presented during the last OE Global Conference. We also engaged closely with the members of the OE French community and gave a presentation about our association and our MOOC at the beginning of 2022. Our next attempt to give back to the OE community will be through attending the next OE conference that will take place in the city of Nantes in France. We are convinced that the OE Award provided us with the international exposure and visibility we needed to attract English-speaking participants and partners. Today, we're happy to be able to work with them in crafting a better future for PhD career journeys in France, Europe, and elsewhere in the world. Stay tuned for even more open English language content and expert guests during Season 6.
My name is Maria Bibi. I am the president of CAISIPAN, a giving back project based in Florida, USA. Our mission is advancing digital capabilities for all educators. By digital capabilities, we mean a set of cognitive, technical, and humanizing competencies using information and communication technologies. CAISIPAN's learning and teaching approach is three-pronged to harmonize: one, learner-centered pedagogy that balances knowledge with social-emotional learning; two, curation and alignment and creation of open education resources, OER; and three, leveraging last-mile intermediate technologies. CAISIPAN collaborates with partner educators in the Philippines and in the Philippine diaspora.
My name is Imelda Parcacio. I am connected with Benguet State University under the College of Teacher Education and a teaching fellow of CAISIPAN under the leadership of Maria Bibe. My college is a center of excellence in education awarded by the Commission on Higher Education Philippines. Benguet State University is a level 4 accredited state university in the Philippines.
CAISIPAN and Benguet State University are honored to be part of a collective impact. The award validates our work on promoting open education resources without borders, open education for all. OER is an ongoing process that requires collaborative effort where many drops can become an ocean. The ability of educators to think together and work together on OERs to achieve quality learning outcomes is exciting, particularly because cooperation is embedded in the Philippine cultural tradition of bayanihan, cooperative undertaking. Together with our teaching fellows, we are building the capacity of educators from DepEd Manila, Marcos Mariano State University, New Cabalan, and the Association of Private Schools in Benguet, North Luzon, to align, curate, access, reuse, adapt, redistribute, and create OER. We facilitate international cooperation between schools in the U.S. and the Philippines and the Philippine diaspora. Together with the Department of Science and Technology, we are experimenting with sustainability models for delivering OER online and offline. The department has deployed Starbooks, or the Science and Technology Academic and Research-Based Openly Operated Kiosk Stations. It is a standalone information source designed to reach those with limited or no access to information resources. The project aims to provide science, technology, and innovation-based content in various formats to students and other constituents in geographically isolated and economically challenged schools and communities throughout the country. Kaisipan will help with curated OERs.
At present, collective efforts are exerted to share what OER is and how it will improve one's instructional curriculum through a continuing online-offline webinar to basic education school teachers. It is a workshop on the what and how to curate instructional materials, creating, accessing, reusing, adapting, and redistributing their collected OERs are always positively appreciated by the teachers at the end of the sessions. As a teacher education institution, Benguet State University intentionally integrates and advocates the use of OER in the various courses that is taught under its education program, like Bachelor in Secondary Education and Bachelor in Elementary Education. The pre-service teachers are trained how to maximize and appreciate the equitable quality of OER that results to their understanding of the importance of knowing how and why they need to enrich their content as they prepare and execute their lessons.
Based on experience, an ongoing concern is that Philippine policymakers in education are quick to say, but OER is not culturally relevant. We think this comes from a perception or a misperception that OER is embedded in stone and therefore cannot be reused, remixed, and redistributed. This misperception can be addressed through communicating with stakeholders and growing the number of OER literate advocates, users, and OER creators while advancing for a supportive policy for OER.
Kaisipan, together with BSU, believes that the building of the capacity of stakeholders in the use of OER is a big step towards achieving a global coherence in education, as each contributes to the list of resources, models, and policy for OER.
Bit by bite, Kaisipan, Benguet, and all of the recipients of the 2021 UNESCO OER Implementation Award for Excellence have started promoting and reinforcing international cooperation. We wish for this to be an ongoing and sustainable effort for collective impact.
Hello, this is Nicole Saad.
And Melissa Guadalupe Huertas from the Wikimedia Foundation.
The Wikimedia Foundation is a global nonprofit that makes knowledge free and accessible to everyone around the world. We do this by hosting Wikipedia and Wikimedia Projects, a collection of web projects that provide access to over 55 million articles across 300 languages, all for free and without ads. Our vision is to ensure that everyone can share in the sum of all human knowledge.
Last year, we presented about the Wikimedia Foundation's flagship teacher training program, Reading Wikipedia in the Classroom. This program was first piloted in 2020 in Bolivia, Morocco, and the Philippines. And this year, it's expanding to at least 6 more countries, including Mexico, Guinea, Ghana, Nigeria, Tanzania, and Ukraine.
Through our new Training of Trainers program, we empower volunteers to adapt the open training modules into their own languages and local contexts. Currently, the teacher's guide has been adapted into 4 languages, with plans to adapt it into at least 5 more this year.
Before reading Wikipedia, we had often heard from teachers, parents, and students that Wikipedia was not allowed to be used in the classroom. Research confirmed that though teachers often use Wikipedia for their own lesson planning, they would not allow their students to use it for fear of misinformation and misuse.
The Reading Wikipedia program aims to shift the dialogue around Wikipedia and education toward one that recognizes its value as a tool for teaching media and information literacy skills, helping students to think critically not only about information on Wikipedia, but about all information they consume.
Reading Wikipedia in the classroom supports the UNESCO OER recommendation by providing capacity building for teachers to help them build confidence to incorporate open educational resources like Wikipedia into their teaching practice.
You can find out more about this program and opportunities for training at education.wikimedia.org.
I'm Isetta Twalorelei, a senior lecturer at the University of Southern Queensland, based in Queensland, Australia. I teach intercultural communication and literacy to early years pre-service educators in the School of Education. At the OE Global Conference 2021, my colleague Dr. Mace Fataya and I presented an interactive activity called Building the OER Capacity of University Students Through Renewable Assignments, which utilised Dr. Fataya's model for OER development and was illustrated with case studies from our students. Dr. Fataya is way more tech savvy than I am, so she created a lovely H5P activity for conference attendees. And our intention with this activity was to showcase how academics and educational designers could harness university students' cognitive surplus, that is, all the thinking they put into their course assignments, and direct that towards creating open educational resources, or OER, that address social or professional challenges. I was surprised and really delighted to be the recipient of the UNESCO OER Implementation Award 2021. Being relatively new to the open education community, I'm so impressed by its warmth, its positivity, and its purposeful scholarly activity. Attending OE Global really inspired me to continue pursuing open educational inquiry. So what I'm looking forward to in 2022 is completing further research in the area of open assessment, facilitating more student-generated OER, and catching up again with the community's progress at the next OE Global Conference. Hope to see you there.
Hello, my name is Mace Fataya. I'm a Learning Design and Technology Specialist at the University of Technology, Sydney, UTS, in Australia. In my role, I provide learning design consultations for UTS teaching staff. And I also work on projects at institutional level that contribute to enhancing the learning experience at UTS. At the OE Global Conference 2021, I collaborated with my colleague, Dr. Isetta Tololle, on generating an interactive activity called Building the OER Capacity of University Students Through Renewable Assignments, which utilized an OER development model for tapping into student-generated content that I previously developed for computing and information technology education. Isetta has adopted the model in her teaching in intercultural communication and literacy to early years pre-service educators in the School of Education. Isetta and I compared the outcomes and highlighted the impact of the model on engaging students in their learning through the two different settings, that is computing and educational studies. I'm an early career researcher, so working with Isetta was a valuable opportunity for me to learn from her expertise in educational research. We hope that from providing evidence on the OER development model in two different contexts, that academics and learning designers will be able to see how the model works in real-life settings and reuse the design principles of the model for adopting open educational resources in learning and teaching at their institutions. I think it is highly rewarding to be part of this community, and receiving an award motivates me to contribute to advocate for OER in my role at UTS. OE Global was a great opportunity for me to network with people working in OER around the world. This was also timely since I started promoting for OER in my role at UTS. And great ideas started to appear from the learning and teaching community, and academics started shifting their mindsets to consider open education in their teaching. And for this area being one great place to work, particularly at this uncertain time. So, yeah, I look forward to 2022 to grow our community around OER here at UTS and also catching up with participants at the next OE Global Conference. So I hope to see you there. Thanks.
Thanks for having me in your studio as a guest on the OEG Voices podcast. I am honored to be one of the 294 winners of the UNESCO Implementation Award for Excellence. Let me quickly introduce myself. I'm Derek Moore, based in Johannesburg, South Africa, and I'm the lead associate for Web Learning. I work alongside academics, librarians and educators, ed techies and learning designers, looking for opportunities for dialogue rather than didactic direction. And I'm wanting to find ways in which we can be a little more intentional when leveraging digital in education. I was very pleased to receive recognition for a project that I've been working on for the last 3 or 4 years. It's called the Open Umbrella Self-Evaluation Tool and Field Guide, and it's intended to assist course developers to identify how they would like to refine and improve their hybrid or blended courses. The user of the Open Umbrella goes to www.weblearning.co.za/umbrella and can fill in the self-evaluation tool, and then they can look at the field guide and find resources to assist them improve the areas that they have identified. I hope that helps and enlightens you. Please feel free to visit the website and look forward to chatting further about the project on the site. It is open and it is also annotatable, and it is also licensed under CC BY, so anybody is welcome to remix, reuse, redistribute in any way that they'd like. Thank you.
Greetings from Sweden. I am Ebba Janelsson, Professor of Innovation and Open Online Learning. I'm on the board of ICD, the National Council for Open and Distance Education. And I'm also chair of the ICD OER Advocacy Committee, where we are 12 ambassadors from all 6 regions of the globe. We were reviewers, chairs, and presenters during the OER Global Conference in autumn 2021. Our paper was on global monitoring of the UNESCO OER recommendation. We are all very delighted and proud to have been issued with the winner of the UNESCO OER Implementation Award issued by OER Global. I also myself had another presentation together with other researchers around the globe, and that study was about a global study on open education and open science practices, use cases, potentials during the COVID-19 pandemic and beyond. The OER Global Conference was a great success, and we all learned a lot from it, together with researchers, colleagues from all over the globe. I wish you all the best. Take care and stay safe.
Hello all, my name is Rovani Sigamani, and I am the program specialist working on the UNESCO Engineering Program. I am based in the science sector, the natural sciences sector, in the Division of Science Policy and Capacity Building.
Hi, and I'm Kelly McKenna, and I'm with the IEEE. The IEEE is a 501c3 organization, and it is the world's largest technical professional organization dedicated to the advancement of technology for the benefit of humanity. And I'm with the IEEE History Center and oversee an open education resource program called IEEE Reach.
I'm Mary Ann Karamagi, team leader at Silverbolt, a not-for-profit
are promoting the uptake of applied sciences in Uganda. We are the implementing partner for REACH in Uganda.
So Ravani, why don't you just give a intro as to how we got started working together?
UNESCO came upon the Raising Engineering Awareness Through the Conduit of History, the REACH project, and thought that this was a great project to implement, starting in Africa as a pilot project. Working together with the IEEE Africa Council and the UNESCO Regional Office in Uganda, and also with Silverbolt and the Smart Girls Foundation, two local Ugandan NGOs, we started implementing the project.
So I guess really at this point, I should touch base with what REACH is. And as shared, it is an education resource program. And the program itself is an interdisciplinary program as it crosses both the humanities disciplines and the STEM disciplines. What the program does is it focuses on the social context of technology. And we do this all through the lens of history, as throughout time, technology has impacted society, culture, politics, economics, and vice versa. Through the program, we teach students the history of specific technologies and its impact on society.
So Silverbolt focuses on the use of STEM, and in particular technology, to ensure that these sciences are being applied for community development. We've been grappling with a lot of complex situations and questions and a lot of dilemmas on the application and how does one move forward after studying this. We found that if you start to look at it through the lens of history, you then start to understand how other people have made these discoveries, how they came to think about them, and how it can also allow us to make our own discoveries. You also get to see how the great men and women who thought outside the box often went against the conventions in order to innovate for their communities. But most importantly, it also helps you to place these scientific discoveries in context of historical events. So you're able to clearly see how technology impacted humanity and how in turn humanity also did impact to bring about the technology. So giving us this context does help us guide the students much better and much easier, giving STEM much more relevance in their lives.
So included in the program are different resources. We provide inquiry designs, lesson plans, which include formative and summative performance tasks, as well as also a taking informed action, which makes the material relevant to the students' lives today. We provide hands-on activities that the teachers can do with students. We also provide primary source documents, which are original pieces of evidence during the time studied. So, for example, it could be an artifact or a photograph taken during that time period in history. And then we also provide short, engaging student videos. As Marianne shared, she was our implementation partner in Uganda. So I'm going to let her share a little bit as to how she utilized the REACH resources.
Okay, so with REACH being an open education resource, we were able to align it to the Ugandan standards for both in and out of classroom learning activities, which is a must that it should cover. We labored to maintain. We maintained the project-based learning and the inquiry design formats because they were key to delivery. And we split the activities into 5 activities where we had the introduction session, which brought in the history and with the challenges and solutions. Then we did the hands-on activities. We also had a couple of formative assessments. These were, we had some inquiry units to guide this, but this was also in group discussions, debates. We had to switch it up for the communities especially. And then we closed this off with entrepreneurship sessions, which really closed the loop for us, giving the REACH material more relevance for our community. It brought to the forefront the application, immediate application and use of the knowledge that we're acquiring through REACH. The REACH program really worked well for us for various reasons, but most importantly, it was really in line with the new national curriculum that had been released. The prerequisite was for any learning material that's out there, it should be project-based and inquiry-based. And of course, this made it very engaging for the students. Second of all, it has to be applied both in and out of the classroom, which REACH was able to achieve fully for us. It also gave a good guide on the practical use of the knowledge that you're learning, the sciences or the applied sciences. How best can I use this knowledge to change community? So it's more of learning with an end in mind, and the students would know what it takes and what they have to go through to get this done. For the rural communities, it was specifically inspiring for them. We knew this had worked when someone would walk up to you and say, okay, this is the problem I had, and this is how I wanted to approach it, and I gave up quickly. But right now, I want to start this again. How can I go about it? It's kind of looking for the technical advice. Then you know what you're doing is actually working, because that's what we wanted to achieve. Also telling people that, you know, you can have the potential. All you have to do is have the information. So just find the information, do it like those before you had done it, and then and you're good to go. So that for us was really good, and we felt it was really impactful, especially in the communities, and very good for those who have not had prior information to a lot of the technological information out there. Those who are not studying the sciences, this was really a very nice and soft landing ground for them, and created awareness and sparked interest. And we hope to do this a lot more. In Uganda, we don't have many of these resources available. So the fact that REACH is an open education resource, it means that it's readily available. Anyone who needs it or wants to use it can go to the website and access it. And that in there is the real beauty. There is no money that someone in a community has to pay to benefit from such resources.
Marianne, that's really wonderful to hear. As you know, our hopes are that more and more educators will actually use the REACH resources, as our primary goal is to try to ensure that all students are technologically literate. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Rovani to share a bit as well.
Due to the success of this project being an open education resource, IEEE and UNESCO, together with many stakeholders on the ground, we think that this project can be a great pilot project to implement in other countries. We would like this project to grow in Kenya, in Rwanda, in Zimbabwe, other countries in Africa, and thereafter take this project internationally.
Greetings from Extremadura in the southwest of Spain. My name is Antonio Juan Delgado Garcia, one of the advisors of the CREA project. CREA, C-R-E-A, stands for Creation of Open Educational Resources, and it is a program of the regional government of Extremadura that offers support and guidance to those teachers who begin to generate, adapt, and apply the resources in the classroom to make them available to the educational community. It is a program that supports and encourages educational innovation and success based on the OER philosophy sponsored by UNESCO and the Open Educational Model. This program has been running for 4 years now. In this academic year, almost 700 teachers are generating and taking open resources to their classrooms for all educational levels. The CREA teachers in Extremadura form a community that receives the support of the educational administration through advice by the teaching staff of the Educational Innovation and Inclusion General Directorate, a training course organized by the Teacher Training and Innovation Department, and finally, regarding the creation of educational resources, all teachers have at their disposal the CREA Teacher's Guide. In recent years, we have created a motto that all teachers in our region already know, Extremadura OER Territory. In addition, the purpose of this program is to create a set of open resources through the systematic incorporation of active methodologies, universal design for learning, and the generation of complementary materials that contributes to the educational success of students. CREA resources constitute an invitation to the methodological renewal of teachers and content producers, either through the use of those that are published, their re-elaboration or the replication of the model, and they are under continuous review and expansion. We use an official platform, Escolarium, a teaching learning environment that aims to facilitate the educational follow-up of teachers and families. Moreover, we have open-source tools such as ExoLearning that facilitate the creation of educational content. Why the CREA program? Because for a territory like Extremadura, it is the ideal solution to have quality resources at low cost and available from any schools in a region with a very dispersed population and low economic development. What is more, the students who learn with these resources have access to a new way of seeing the learning process. They become protagonists and assimilate ideas such as shared knowledge and open education. Our classroom showed how the OER model helped to change education and opens new perspectives in the mentality of students above all. In the next academic years, we'll continue with the CREA project, sharing our open educational resources with the whole world. We are waiting for you in the OER territory in Extremadura.
Saludos desde Extremadura, desde el suroeste de España. Soy Antonio Juan Delgado García, uno de los tutores del proyecto CREA. CREA significa Creación de Recursos Educativos Abiertos y es un programa del Gobierno Regional Extremeño que ofrece apoyo y orientación a aquellos docentes que comienzan a generar, adaptar y aplicar en el aula sus recursos para ponerlos a disposición de la comunidad educativa. Se trata de un programa que apoya y fomenta la innovación y el éxito educativos a partir de la filosofía REA auspiciada por la UNESCO y el modelo de educación abierta. Hace ya 4 años que este programa está en marcha. En este curso, casi 700 profesores están generando y llevando a sus aulas recursos para todos los niveles educativos. Los docentes CREA de Extremadura forman una comunidad que recibe el respaldo y apoyo de la Administración Educativa a través de asesoramiento por parte de personal docente de la Dirección General de Innovación e Inclusión Educativa, un curso de formación que convoca el Servicio de Innovación y Formación del Profesorado y, por último, y de cara a la creación de los recursos, todo docente tiene a su disposición la guía para docentes CREA. En los últimos años hemos creado un lema que todos los docentes de nuestra región ya conocen: Extremadura, territorio REA. La finalidad de este programa es crear un conjunto de recursos educativos abiertos mediante la incorporación sistemática de metodologías activas, el diseño universal para el aprendizaje y la generación de materiales complementarios que contribuyan al éxito educativo del alumnado. Los recursos CREA constituyen una invitación a la renovación metodológica de docentes y productores de contenidos, ya sea por la utilización de los que se vayan publicando, por su reelaboración o por la replicación del modelo. Los mismos están en continua revisión y ampliación. Los recursos que creamos y publicamos en CREA se diseñan para el alumnado y centros concretos y están a disposición de todos los docentes para que puedan usarlos, adaptarlos y llevarlos a sus aulas. Usamos un repositorio oficial, Scholarium, un entorno de enseñanza-aprendizaje con una interfaz amigable y sencilla. Pretende facilitar el seguimiento educativo de docentes y familias. Además, tenemos como base para la creación de los recursos herramientas de código abierto, una herramienta como Xlearning que facilita la creación de contenidos educativos. ¿Por qué el programa CREA? Porque para un territorio como Extremadura son la solución ideal para tener recursos de calidad, a bajo coste y disponibles desde cualquier centro educativo en una región con población muy dispersa y bajo desarrollo económico. Pero sobre todo porque los alumnos que aprenden con estos recursos acceden a una nueva forma de ver el aprendizaje, se convierten en protagonistas y asimilan ideas como las de conocimiento compartido y la educación abierta. Nuestras aulas muestran cómo el modelo REA ayuda a cambiar la educación y sobre todo abre nuevas perspectivas en la mentalidad de los estudiantes. Los próximos cursos continuaremos con nuestro proyecto CREA, compartiendo con todo el mundo nuestros recursos educativos abiertos. Os esperamos en nuestro territorio REA de Extremadura.
Hello, I'm Naomi Walls, and together with Martijn Ogehand and Vibo Dijkstra at TU Delft in the Netherlands, and part of that course was to create a course to teach others how to develop their courses for blended learning. Another portion of that was that we looked for best practices and what worked and didn't work during the COVID times. We put out a survey during the OE Global, and we also had surveyed university faculty here at TU Delft. We also did a little bit of research, just finding what had been done and what was going on. And we also took some observations from our weekly webinars and other sources on campus. And we've created a research report based on that. We clarified some terms utilizing blended learning, and we also looked at the teacher readiness. We talked about the dark side of isolation during repeated lockdowns and some things that happened for students. And there will be a further in-depth literature review specifically regarding isolated students. We also made like an emergency plan. One of the things that was difficult for universities was creating mass change for so many courses with different faculties all at once, with changing policies of different lockdowns and different restrictions. So what we did is we created a lecturer emergency satchel with all the resources in one page that they could use when lockdowns immediately rolled out. So we can pull back that page as soon as there is another lockdown, if there is in the future. But we can also do it for any other emergency in the future as well. We also looked at what was some of the common issues during the change management. Some of the things that we often heard from lecturers was requests for various licenses and having some sort of pool of licenses at a university level, not just a faculty level, allowing them to pilot things, but also to share advanced tools that went beyond some of the basic video production type stuff. We also realized that students needed more social learning spaces. So we provided some suggested social elements that could be added to courses fairly easily. And we specifically talked about icebreakers and the need for those for students to get started on topics in their courses. And we also talked about bringing students back to campus and some things that might happen in those spaces. That's the basics of the research report that we've created and is on the IATO website for the Digital Pro projects. Thanks for listening in.
Ciao!
Hello! Yasas! Bonjour! Hello! We are delighted to be part of the celebration for the 10 years of the Open Education Awards this year. My name is Christine Ranzi, and I'm a reader and academic CPD at Manchester Metropolitan University in the United Kingdom and the GoGN member. In 2020, I was awarded one of the four GoGN fellowships, and I used this as an opportunity to bring to life a creative collaborative project. The team consists of open practitioners, researchers, artists, and an engineering students, and we are all from different parts of the world. So here are our team members, Gino Fransman.
Hi everyone, I'm Gino Fransman from South Africa and from the Open Education Influences.
Helen?
Hi, it's Helen Poulker from the Open University in the UK.
Hello, this is Dr. Verena Roberts coming in from Thompson Rivers University in BC and Alberta, Canada.
And we have Penny Bentley from the University of Southern Queensland in Australia.
Ciao, I'm Paola Corti, Politecnico di Milano in Italy.
Brian Mathers, our artist and mentor from Visual Thinkery in the UK.
Hi, I'm Odysseus Frank, a sixth form student studying animation and game design in the UK. And I did the illustration with my mum, Chrissy, and designed the book.
I'm Thanasis Frank. I'm an undergraduate student in engineering at Cambridge. And I worked on DoodleFan.
That is fantastic. Great. Over to Helen.
Okay, so together, as a team, we created together an openly licensed picture book about the values of open education. We worked together over 6 months remotely. We co-authored the story and illustrated the open licensed picture book together. We also reached out for help to the wider open education community who provided valuable data for our initial inquiry.
Colleagues also peer-reviewed our story and the book as it was developing. We are grateful for everybody's input and GoGN for supporting this project. Our goal was to bring open education to a wider audience, to share the values of open education beyond the higher education sector, and we felt that a picture book format is an ideal vehicle to do this.
A picture book together is a story about three friends who went on an adventure down the river to build a playground. On their way, they meet other animals who seem to put obstacles in their way. Read the story to discover what happens next. To create some of the artwork, we used exhibits from the Rijksmuseum in Amsterdam, which are available under an open license, showcasing this way how OER can be repurposed. Our picture book is for young children and adults alike. It can be read and explored together. New stories based on this can be created. You can add, remove, edit text in any language you like and make your own illustrations too.
Thanks to the open education community, Together has been translated into almost 30 languages now. There is an audiobook available, and all images and the story in different languages has been made available in formats that enables easy remixing. While our story text is under 200 words, We have used our collaboration as a live inquiry into the collaborative process and have written thousands and thousands of words in the form of blog posts, articles, and produced hundreds of doodles and illustrations. We have already shared our work at international conferences, and we hope that we will be able to continue expanding our activities and work more closely with educators around the world on spreading the bug for open education using Together.
We are delighted to have received the Open Innovation Award for 2021 by Open Education Global and would like to thank the judging panel for seeing value in our work and the significant recognition. Our warmest congratulations to all award winners over the last 10 years. We feel honored to be among so many distinct and committed open innovators. Thank you. Bye for now.
Ciao.
Tschüss. Yasas.
Hello, friends. Greetings from India. I am Ramesh Sharma, and I am a faculty member at Dr. B.R. Ambedkar University, Delhi. We are very happy to be the winner of an OE Award for Excellence in the UNESCO OER Implementation category. I have highly appreciated the initiative of OEG Voices podcast, and it would be wonderful to listen to almost 300 colleagues. The title of our presentation was Global Study on Open Education and Open Science, Practices, Use Cases, and Potentials During the COVID-19 Pandemic and Beyond. Our study provides an overview of the status of open education and open science for our global society in the first year of COVID-19 pandemic. We presented practices and use cases from 12 countries and global regions on the challenges for formal education during the COVID-19 outbreak. A special focus is led on the potential solutions and examples of open education and open science in these regional use cases. Their analysis and comparison present insights about the developed strategies and implemented practices in the different regions worldwide. We also discussed opportunities and recommendations, how open education and open science can innovate and improve formal education in schools, universities, and lifelong learning during the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic as well as afterwards. Thank you once again, and stay safe and blessed.
Greetings to everyone who believes and advocates the spirit of openness. I am Aras Bozkurt, an Associate Professor of Distance Education at Open Education Faculty, Anadolu University, Turkey. I am one of the co-authors of the paper entitled Global Study on Open Education and Open Science, Practices, Use Cases, and Potentials During the COVID-19 Pandemic and Beyond. The paper is written by 29 authors across the world and presented at OE Global 2021. I am happy for the recognition of our collective effort, and most importantly, I am happy that our effort for the advocacy and promotion of the openness in general and OER in specific is seen and heard. Stay well, and of course, during these tough times, stay healthy.
Hello, my name is Judith Vitala, and I'm a research and outreach associate from the COPIM project, that is COPIM, and it stands for Community-Led Open Publication Infrastructures for Monographs. This is a collaborative project that brings together an international range of researchers, librarians, open access book publishers, and infrastructure providers. And you can see more about it at www.copim.ac.uk. And I'd like to introduce to you an update on the work of Work Package 2, which is building and maintaining a collective and a platform to promote, sustain, and improve the distribution of open access academic book publishing. So we are registering the Open Book Collective as a UK-based charity, though we have international members, and we hope to expand that more. And this collective supports a user-friendly integrated platform that helps stakeholders explore, discover, access and support open access books from a range of publishers and infrastructure providers through a fully searchable catalogue. The metadata, which some OA books lack, will be maximally readable and comprehensive through an app called TOTH, and we will aim to offer a range of flexible subscription packages through which patrons can support either individual publishers, groups of publishers, or the entire collectives. So the metadata and catalogue functions will be freely available to everyone, and we'll also be providing space for our member publishers to display their current and forthcoming books, and of course to access library revenue streams that may have been previously unavailable to them. So we've partnered with the group of publishers that form the Scholar-Led Collective to launch and pilot the platform, but we are constantly hoping to expand and integrate more publishers in time. We've also partnered with JISC and the Database of Open Access Books, who are assisting in the management of revenue curation and systems of preservation. So if you'd like to learn more, and especially learn more about joining us, please go to copim.ac.uk or email me at j.vitala@lancaster.ac.uk. Vitala is F-A-T-H-A-L-L-A-H. Thank you very much, and I hope that is of interest.
Hi, my name is Laís Souza, and currently I'm the first semester studying biomedical engineering at the Federal University of Pernambuco.
Hi, I'm Christine Guzmão, Associate Professor, Department of Biomedical Engineering at the Federal University of Pernambuco, Brazil. We are very grateful for the invitation and the opportunity to present and represent once more our open education project, Mais Saberes.
The Mais Saberes project is an extension action of the biomedical engineering course at the Federal University of Pernambuco, which aims to disseminate knowledge about the areas and subjects that permeate biomedical engineering, in addition to providing opportunities for investigation, improvement, and application of themes of interest related to education and health.
The main goal of the project was the attendance of biomedical engineering students. The entire study was based on the 2030 agenda, in particular, Sustainable Development Goal 4, on digital skills and on building the capacity to create, access, reuse, adapt, and redistribute open educational resources.
Howdy, I'm Judith Sebesta, Executive Director of the Digital Higher Education Consortium of Texas in Austin. I am so pleased to be the recipient of the 2021 UNESCO OER Implementation Award, and I'm honored to be among such distinguished international company. It was my privilege at this year's OE Global Virtual Conference to serve as a rapporteur for two sessions, one on open science and another on collaborations, combating the rich club effect, and mapping open education policy. On the lighter side, I co-hosted with the illustrious Paul Stacey the first ever OE Global talent show. And let me tell you, OE Global members are wicked talented. If you attended or watched a recording, you might remember my enthusiastic, well-intentioned, but not really that great theme song, "Welcome to the OE Global Talent Show." I'll spare you the rest. Anyway, seriously, this recognition of the collective impact of this amazing community of open education practitioners seems so appropriate to commemorate the 10th anniversary of OE Global. I am so grateful to be included. Gracias, merci, shukran, sier, spasiba, and thank you.
Hello, I'm Jennifer Miller, an open knowledge advocate and civic technologist. At OE Global, I presented an open syllabus and course materials for teaching open science through the lens of the UNESCO recommendation on open science. The course is a one-credit, 15-week course designed for higher education settings in the U.S. The format of the syllabus is an adaptation of the one used in the Creative Commons certificate course, meaning it has already been road-tested to deliver open education in a variety of settings. The course is based on open and free materials, informed by open pedagogy, and grounded in the human right to science. The syllabus is CC BY licensed, requiring only attribution, and is highly adaptable for other contexts. The syllabus includes assignments and rubrics, including a final project, so faculty can adopt the course with minimal prep. The syllabus and materials are hosted on Wikiversity and Zenodo. If you search for Open Syllabus UNESCO Recommendation on Open Science on Wikiversity or Zenodo, you'll find the syllabus and course materials. These materials include interactive, self-check multiple-choice questions you can try out on Wikiversity or load easily into a learning management system from Zenodo. The course would be especially well-suited for the following settings. As a PI-led special topics course in your lab or department, in Maymester or summer session to potential or incoming STEM grad students, to current and retired STEM practitioners and educators in a community college. If any of that sounds like you, please get in touch. An online Train the Trainer session for people interested in teaching this course will be offered at the Force 11 Scholarly Communication Institute in partnership with UCLA Library, July 25th through 29th. The project was part of Open Education for a Better World, and I'd like to conclude by thanking my project mentor, Jeff Kane, for his support.
Hi, my name is Alexander Mikroyanidis, and I am a research fellow at the Open University in the UK. I am truly honored to be one of the recipients of the UNESCO OER Implementation Award and one of the presenters at the Open Education Global 2021 conference. My presentation at this conference marked the launch of a new budged open course that I have developed entitled Decentralizing Education Using Blockchain Technology. The course introduces blockchain technology and its potential for decentralizing and transforming open education and lifelong learning. The course is available on the Open University's Open Learn Create platform and is licensed under a Creative Commons license, which allows the reuse and adaptation of the course materials for non-commercial purposes. You can try this course for free and earn your first blockchain-based smart badge and a free certificate of participation. I am currently working on the emerging field of decentralization in open education. Specifically, I am exploring the ways that blockchain technology can support the capacity building of stakeholders to create, access, reuse, adapt, and redistribute open educational resources. If you are also interested in this exciting new field, feel free to get in touch. Thanks for listening.
Hi there. My name is Gaby Lutgens from Maastricht University, and I had the pleasure to present in last September's OE Global Online Conference on the topic of how to align open education initiatives to open science activities. I did this on behalf of my colleagues, Gerlien Klein, Leontien van Rossum, and Robert Schuur, all working at the Dutch Institute of Higher Education, and Lieke Rensing from CERF, a nationwide institute focusing on the implementation and use of IT in higher education. We hosted a discussion in which we focused on what we recognize as similar challenges and dilemmas, but also good practices that exist in both open science and open education, and how these can be transformed into activities that will lead to more alignment between each field. We also touched upon the topic of how to recognize and reward staff for sharing the learning material in the same way as exists already in the context of open science. With the input we received from other participants, we were happy to continue this activity in our own country and are proud to share that we organized an in-person roundtable with representatives of several Dutch institutes, again discussing this topic, and have been invited to co-author a chapter on open education in the ambition document of the Dutch Open Science Platform. So thank you for lighting our fire.
Hi, I'm Dr. Josie Milliken, and it was a pleasure and an honor to present at the OE Global 2021 online conference. The topic of my presentation was mapping desire lines into the OER classroom. And this presentation is focused on using desire lines, which are the lines that people or animals create that aren't necessarily in line with city planning to get from one destination to another, following their choices and their paths rather than following the paths of cityscapes and architecture. So based on that, looking at how can we apply this to the OER classroom with an open pedagogy lens to increase equity and inclusion and give students agency by observing what they do and then aligning our curriculum and our assessments and our course approaches to what they are showing from what they learn best from in terms of their behaviors. And regarding this award, I am so thrilled and honored to be part of the Award of Excellence in the UNESCO OER Implementation Award and to share this award with 293 other brilliant and amazing presenters and those dedicated to spreading awareness and understanding about open educational resources, open education, and the impact these resources and this work can have on students and student learning. In 2022, I am most looking forward to seeing how open education evolves, finding more an emphasis on quality, equity, and inclusion in OER, and finding more repositories, seeing many more press books and other versions of OER come out to increase the availability of options for using these wonderful resources in courses. I'm looking forward to continued conversations with those in this community and in other communities and going through this learning together. Thank you so much.
Dear colleagues and friends, thank you so much for joining our global community for open education. My name is Christian Stracke, and I'm very pleased to be awarded and the winner of the UNESCO OER Implementation Award for Excellence in the year 2021. I'm a strong believer in open education, and open education means not only the way to share open education resources, but also to improve and innovate our whole lifelong learning. The United Nations organization UNESCO did a great job and a milestone in the development and adoption of the UNESCO OER recommendation, and I was very happy to contribute to it. Thus, we were very pleased to see that the OE Global Conference 2021 was completely dedicated to the UNESCO OER recommendation and its implementation. And we were very excited to present the first results of our global study. Since the year 2020, when I have established a global research team across all 5 continents, we are analyzing and comparing the situations and the approaches, how open education was used in 13 countries to face the COVID-19 pandemic and lockdowns. And we are very happy that our first results are also published now in scientific journals. We would like to invite you to join our forces and to collaborate with us to achieve the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals, and in particular goal number 4 for inclusive and equitable quality education for all. We strongly believe that open education can make a difference and contribute to it. Let us collaborate to improve, through open education, our lifelong learning, our education systems, and in the end, our societies. Thank you so much for joining, and we are looking forward to our future collaboration. See you soon!
Wow, that was really something. Wasn't that a great show? Thank you for listening to this episode of OEG Voices from Open Education Global. You're going to hear some featured open license music today, and it's a track called The World Around You by Frau Holly. From the Free Music Archive, licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike license. And we had some voice mixes in the introduction. When you visit our website, you'll learn how you can actually play with this little toy, and you can also contribute your own voice so you can be part of the next episode, the introduction mix for the OEG Voices podcast. And so I really want to thank all the people who contributed to this episode, and including, and I will try to do my best with name pronunciations, Alexander McMirandis, Iris Buzzcourt, Chrissy Narenzi, Gino Friendsman, Paolo Corti, Helen Polker, Verena Roberts, Brian Mathers,
Odysseus Friend,
Tenacious Friend, Derek Moore, Eba Osinalsa, Aseda Tulano Delay, Gabby Lukens, Jennifer Moore, Josie Milliken, Judith Fatala, Judith Sebesta, Kelly McKenna, Ravani Scamoni, Marianne Caramaggi, Lais Souza with Christine Guzman, Laura Henderson, Mace Fateir, Maria Bibi with Imelda Parkosh, Maya Anderson Gonzalez, Melissa Guadalupe Huertas and Nicole Saad, Antonio Juan de la Garcia, Naomi Walls, and Ramesh Sharma. And we want to thank you all again very much for being part of this episode. It was really something put together. You'll find this episode at our site, voices.oeglobal.org. And if you want, you can join in some follow-up conversation in our OEG Connect space. If you want to share your open education work or talk about anything with us or suggest a future guest, please let us know. We just want to get as many voices of open educators on here as we can. Thank you again, and we'll see you in our next episode.